The following episode was recorded live on YouTube. Check out our website at messagecenter.show for all of our episodes.
Welcome to the 365 Message Center show, where you can plan for change, prevent or fix, and stay informed. I'm Daryl as a service.
I'm Daniel Glenn. Hello, everyone.
Hey, this is our second show where we're now pushing to the audio podcasts as well. So great job there, Daniel. You published all the major platforms.
Yes, we are. This will actually be our fourth episode on the audio podcast. But you said two. The discrepancy there is just because I went back and did two more that we had done before. But this will be our fourth audio podcast, and we are on pretty much every platform that you can imagine. I'm just going to say it that way. We're on Apple, we're on Spotify, we're on Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, Pocket Casts. We're about to be on Pandora. That's an inside secret there. We're about to be on Pandora. So we're on all of them almost. Check us out at messagecenter.show, and you can subscribe to all of your favorite platforms, to our show on those platforms.
Well, today we have 12 updates, no less than 12. No, that's right. I remember talking to you yesterday while we were prepping for the show that there are days, there are weeks when we might have two or three, sometimes even one. And what did you say to me about the feeling you have when you see a week that goes by like that?
Yeah, so whenever it's, we're going to do this Message Center show where we cover all of the wonderful messages that Microsoft is giving us saying, hey, things are coming to your tenant. When we have a few, it never fails. The next week or the 2 weeks after that, we get a ton of messages. And here we are again with a ton of messages to cover. Yeah. But and we're going to do our best to help you stay informed with what's going on.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. So let's get into it. Now, there was also one other thing, actually, before we start. There are weeks when we have lots like this, and we feel like we don't get to do justice to some of the messages we'd like to go deeper on. So in the true form of the 365 Message Center show, we do like to experiment a bit. We're going to try and do a deeper dive. We'll come up with a name for that segment, but we'll do that as a separate thing that we may we'll add to our audio podcast. But anyway, let's crack into it.
Yes, sir.
Now, there's a few here that definitely we do struggle a bit with going into some depth, but I had some particular interest in this one. So this was probably more relevant last week when iPad OS was launched. And I did hear some people around the building, particularly around the security guys that were helping out other customers. The update to the iPad, now called iPad OS, caused some kerfuffle with conditional access policies. And so this announcement or this message was about trying to get you to take some action so that you could still control your devices, your iPad devices that receive this update via conditional access policies.
Yep, and we've talked about this change in other messages in the weeks prior to this, and this is another one talking about those conditional access policies. So managing those devices, since their identifier of their OS is different now. They're no longer, it's not just iOS.
Yeah, now this one you would have come to know about it probably already, because like many people who own an Apple device, they will get that update on there as quickly as possible, and you'll already have had to quickly put something in place.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. And this next one, upgrade your Mac OS to access new Office 365 for Mac updates. We need to start calling the numbers out, don't we? MC191345 if you're up with referencing that. This feels like it's related to another announcement in this kind of picture. What's going on here, Daniel, with the upgrade?
Yeah, this is the really, again, making sure that you're updated this time for gaining access for those updates for Office 365 for Mac. So as we know, that is a different, it's not a different ring, but it's a different path for Office, right? We have Office for Windows. We We have Office apps, and then we also have Office for Mac OS. So making sure that you're updated, the older versions of Mac OS will not be supported. So you need, after, I think it's the message is next year, October, I guess, for Mac OS 10.10 and 10.11. So update after that, and get updated after that, so that you can continue to get support. You'll continue to get security updates up until October of next year, but you need to update. And we've actually briefly talked about this before on the show. You know, older hardware, though, you know, sometimes doesn't allow you to upgrade Mac OS. So this could be a point where you do have to replace older hardware. So,
Yeah, good summary there. Actually, looking ahead, it wasn't a message that's going to be on today's show. I think it was last week's show. But the notification that, you know, year's warning, do upgrade from Office 2013 to Office Pro Plus. So similar kind of support rhythm that in about a year's time, older software like the Mac OS, what version are we talking about here? Yeah, you got to upgrade to 10.13.6 or later. And then, making sure that that's going to be supported for the new Office and Office 365.
Right.
Moving into some more retiring. Oh my God, what's going on here with the theme today? Skype for Business external access setting retired for the Microsoft 365 Admin Center. MCU 191368. And this is a setting in your access policies for for Skype for Business, where you could say that you allow people to have external access for making calls and holding those sorts of communications. That setting's being moved into the Teams admin center.
That's right.
And really it's all part of that moving on from Skype for Business and retiring, well, Skype for Business Online, and replacing that with Microsoft Teams.
Yeah, and that's it, the setting is not being totally eliminated. We just have to do it in a different place. Yep. That's all.
Yep. Now
I like this one. Oh,
yeah, this is definitely
relevant.
I really
like this one, Daryl. So this is MC191391. This is Global Reader. So Reader, not admin. Global Reader built-in role for read-only administrative access across Microsoft 365. This is something, and I don't know about you, Daryl, but this is something I come across the need for all the time working with clients, because they need to know what's there, especially for people who are doing adoption activity. They need to know what's there and available, what's turned on, but not be able to change things. And so those that are the traditional admin role, they don't want to give admin global admin privileges, because you click one button wrong and you've deleted something or disabled something that's needed. So I'm really excited about this, and this is rolling out to production and GCC, which is the US government cloud, beginning in September 24th, which was last week. rolling that out gradually to worldwide beginning of October. And again, what is your experience with this? Because I'm pretty excited about this role.
Well, much like the message mentions, and also if you dig into the additional information, one of the concerns about some of the things you need to do, you end up assigning the global admin role to probably too many people. Remember, it's a safety factor here. It's a security risk if you have too many global admins. We've had some things happen in recent times to try and secure that further, where it's now compulsory for global admins to use MFA or two-factor authentication. Multi. This means that the role will allow you to pair this up with someone like a Exchange admin or a SharePoint admin or someone who would benefit from seeing the information as a global reader, but doesn't necessarily need to administer anything else. They could continue to be an admin for that particular area of their expertise.
Yep.
So nice, you know, giving you enough information to make good decisions for your role, but you know, not too much that you'll create another attack vector or hurt
Right.
yourself and
Exactly.
others.
And I like there's a lot of detail in this one. We've had, especially last week, we had and we weeks prior, we've had some really I don't know what word to use here. We've had some messages that just did not have enough information, and you had to go searching and
Let's
do a
call
lot
it
of
as it
work.
is. We have a standard, don't we? And we see some
Yes.
groups that do it well and some groups that have obviously done it in a hurry.
Well, maybe. So I'm liking the information here. Thank you very much for those in the Microsoft 365 admin team, the with giving us all the details. Love it. Thank you very much.
Right. Office 365 Communications API. Available in for GA, general availability, MC191497. Now, look, I see APIs, and I know that there's definitely a group of people that get really excited about that.
Well,
developers and what would you say, DevOps type people that like to programmatically do things.
So did you read the number one
I did.
MC191497? Okay. And this is mapping to roadmap item 55207, the Microsoft 365 roadmap. But one thing I wanted to call out here on this is this is really the way you use to get into information about and programmatically for the incident information, so issues that are going on with your tenant, as well as the message center. So if you're using the older versions of the API to do that, then you're going to need to migrate to the newest APIs. And if you click on the additional information for this one, it takes you to an article called Office 365 Service Communications API Reference. So if you're re listening along, you can just do a search on Bing for that, and get some information about the available API.
Yeah, I think that's relevant definitely to you know, a good portion of our audience that is all about managing and using the message center, that you might be bringing these messages into other third-party systems. Or I was even thinking of Brian Smith, Lunch with a Lens, who I recently talked to about the message center to planner solution. He probably would be benefiting from this new API as well, bringing things into planner from getting that information. Interesting. So something here for SharePoint, updated feature, the SharePoint sites selection retention policies and retention labels.
Yes. This is all about MC191668. This is talking about when you go to apply the retention label to re retention label publish wizard when you're trying to apply those. Right now, the way it would work is you have to have access to that site for it to actually pull up the URL for you to assign it. Well, the people that are doing this assigning may not always have access to that site. So what this is allowing you to do is actually just type in the URL to the SharePoint site that you know is there, and it will apply that for you, and not, you know, you don't have to go in and be given access and then apply it and all that kind of stuff. So
I imagine that would be quite a administrative pain, wouldn't it? If you have to go in every time, assign yourself access, then remove it.
And that's against, I mean, that's really bad policy for you to be doing anyway. So this is really helping us stay within, you know, best practices of not giving yourself admin rights where you shouldn't have it, and but still being able to do your job. So love it. Love it.
Yeah, there's I mean, side comment, there's a lot of trust that we do need to give to our IT pros, sysadmins, as they run the systems. But there's been a lot of thought too put into this platform so that we can do our job without necessarily getting access to policies, info, people's HR results or something. You know, it's good that we can do this without giving ourselves full admin rights.
Yep, I agree with that. It is something actually the history, give you a little backstory in the SharePoint history, is that we used to have admin rights to all the sites. You know, it was, we were by default given admin rights to all sites on-prem. And so this is kind of a sensitive area for people who've been around the block a time or two with SharePoint, that we do want to be removed from that. I don't want access to sites that have content that I shouldn't get access to, because then I'm responsible for what if I happen to be on that site. You know, I click a link and I get to it and I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have seen that. Now what do I do? You know, there's, I've got to do
plausible
something.
Plausible deniability, please.
Yeah, well, gone, right? That's gone. So I love it. And being able to apply retention policies and labels is without having to have access is great.
Now, this is something that, okay, updated feature, Outlook on the web is getting meeting insights. We've had insights arriving in different places as part of the My Analytics capabilities. And this one, I found them actually quite useful, probably more useful in the web experience than on the desktop. Mm-hmm. One of my complaints or quirks with this, I don't know if, about you, but like the Outlook app tends to get really full with all these different panes that open up and you know, these great features that are all fighting for real estate. So I can see why we've gone through this nice thin modern ribbon in the office.
Right.
So I often don't have the insights open on my desktop app, but I opened it up on the web just this week and bang, there was these insights that came up and it said, hey, have you potentially finish this task or have you actioned this thing that looks like it's part of the conversation? So they are really helpful.
They are. And the way I schedule meetings oftentimes is I will, you know, if we've got a thread going and okay, let's have a meeting. Great. I have a button, create what did I call it? Create a meeting or an appointment. And so I'll click that in Outlook and it'll just take the whole text of what we've been saying and put it in the body of the meeting. And then I'll just send the meeting. And some people might not like that, but I like to keep that as part of the, you know, this is what we were saying. So when you come to the meeting, you can just look at the, oh, that's what that's about. Well, this is kind of in that same thread of understanding what's going on, why was this meeting called, and what was some of the backstory, and what are some of the things leading up to this? I think it's fabulous, because how many times do you go into meetings and go, who called this meeting and why? I read, and not only that, but I get meeting requests all the time that have no agenda whatsoever. And I really want to turn those down and decline those meetings, because if you're not going to tell me what it's about, I'm just not going to show up. Because what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to prepare for that? You know, anyway. So getting that insights, I think, is great. And this is MC191699, by the way.
Can I put a plug in for a great podcast in a couple of episodes? I've got episode one. It's all about better meetings from The Better Show. Ian Megatel, March Rogers, Darren Austin. They've started on a couple of episodes about better meetings, and that's one of the things they definitely address is preparing for meetings and making sure that you've got the agenda, you've got a valuable, you know, why am I coming along to this meeting, something that guides the flow of that meeting as well, and that's one really key thing. So this meeting's insights is about trying to help you prepare for that, and that, you know, you're providing the right documents, maybe you've got something, information there to help you create that agenda. I just want to have a quick look at that additional information, just see what that has to say. Feels like we need to do a deeper dive on the My Analytics and insights that are coming in. Joyful animations. Birthday congratulations. Okay, no, this seems a bit off. It's not entirely about... There we go, it's scheduler not. Meeting.
There we go, yes.
So here's that. It's well, that's suggesting scheduler meeting from an email because it's looking at the language. What else have we got? Suggested attachments. It looks like you're talking
Keep
about
going.
That new
meeting
new
insights.
Person. Meeting insights.
Yep. There it is. So you see I love it. See the emails from people that are in the meeting, you know, and see their the files you know, that you've been working on with them. I mean, I think it could get better. There's some improvement that could be done here.
Yeah.
But the way it sits now, it's a great entry into this space.
And it feels like this, for those of you who are still, you know, living in email, and that's where most of your meetings go on, and you haven't really made the shift to Teams, this is helping you get a similar experience here, where anyone who's involved in that conversation thread, Caroline has dropped in the March sprint planning, for example, or Carl, he's dropped in his Excel spreadsheet. Whereas in Teams, if you're having that conversation, you're attaching all those documents. They're all part of that thread in the meeting, before, during, and after. So, yeah, it's good to see it's providing a similar experience across email. Anyway, moving on, because we got more left.
Yep.
We have. Okay, so our headline... headline message that formed our thumbnail. What do you think of our new logo, people? You like it? We are going to work on a new intro as well. But yeah, just trying to change it up a little. Delegates. Yeah,
and maybe, and just to say, Daryl, sorry. Oh, yeah. I mean, if you're going to say something like that, then jump on the socials, jump on Twitter, and use the hashtag 365MCS for 365 Message Center Show. 365 MCS, and tell us, what do you think about the logo? You know, engage with us. We'd love to hear from you. Sorry, go right ahead.
That's all right. Yeah.
MC191717.
Yep. Delegates can change delegator settings. That sounds like a real mouthful. Maybe it was a bit mysterious when you saw it in our thumbnail, but it's talking about when you can have someone delegated to answer your calls and to manage your voicemail and various things around that. So it's usually when it's a kind of team where you're able to answer each other's calls. Maybe you're in a service scenario, or if you have an executive assistant, you have that kind of arrangement where you can help each other out. Delegates can now change those delegator settings, so on behalf of people. It's probably only going to affect those of you who are using Microsoft Calling. I know that there are some other scenarios where partners are helping bring in your phone capabilities using edge devices and bringing it directly into Teams, and that kind of circumvents some of these features. But good to see that you can control some of these things as a delegate. And delegating more responsibility to delegates.
Delegate more responsibility to delegates who delegate
the settings. Delegators.
Mm.
Yeah.
Anyway, I know. That was terrible.
I love seeing those little loops. Enough of that. Moving on.
Enough, Daryl. Enough.
Yeah.
Give us some Security Center and Compliance Center information, Daryl.
Well, I will. It'll be available soon, as the title says. MC191769. Yeah, gradually rolling out in 2019. So what is this?
We have this already. It's available but you have to have a Microsoft 365 E3 or E5 tenants. And now it's going to be available to everybody. So these are the separate admin centers. So security.microsoft.com and compliance.microsoft.com. So that's all it's talking about is bringing those two separate centers to everybody.
Right, because it was called the Security and Compliance Center. Now it's Security and Compliance.
No.
Centers.
Security Center and Compliance Center. So you can't say Security and Compliance Center. Oh, you said plural. Sorry. Oh, it's Monday.
No, it's not. It's Tuesday.
Oh, well, depends.
It does depend. It always depends. Anyway, we're getting the separate centers.
Yes.
Must spend a bit of time in there. But there's some new short links to it as well. I mean, when we get to the admin center, it's admin.microsoft.com. You can go to security.microsoft.com for the new security center, but not the compliance center, because the compliance center has its own compliance.microsoft.com. Right. Enough of that. Moving on. We're always there, people. Thanks for hanging in there, Phil. And we know that we changed up the time because pesky Kiwi has had... a change in
and we know we have some lurkers. We can see you're watching, but you haven't said hi in the chat. Steven and Phil are in the chat, but
yeah,
got several lurkers, and that's great. We like people who watch and get educated. Stay
and if
informed.
If you're lurking on the audio podcast, thank you for the download. I hope you're enjoying mowing your lawns or driving to work or going for that run and being kept informed. Blocked file types for Outlook on the web. Looks like we've got an action required for this one, MC191778. You'd be adding some additional file extensions that you can manage in your blocked files type list. What else have we got there? It's going to be rolling out in November. So how does it affect me? The newly blocked files are really used, so most organizations won't be affected. But
yeah, this is they should. They're rarely used. So block file types. Oh, this is no longer able to download them from Outlook. Got it. Yes, I missed that part of the sentence. I'm like, Yes, this is if your users are receiving affected attachments, they won't be able to download those. So this, I think the required, it's making sure, I think the biggest key here is making sure you're up to date with your application software and making sure you've updated Outlook. So part of Pro Plus to ensure that this is up to date. You can also remove file extensions from this policy using the configuration when it rolls out. It's the OWA mailbox policy configuration using PowerShell to say, hey, you know, we use this, maybe we use an application that has a file type that we're emailing between our vendors or internal or whatever, and we want to make sure it's included. Then you can use that set-oa mailbox policy command to allow certain foo is the example they've used on the website .foo, but you know,
foo?
Yeah, foo.
Foo is an extension.
In this example, it is.
Is it related to Foo Fighters? In fact, it feels like this blocking of a potentially dangerous attachment is about fighting Foo. So I think every time the attachment is blocked, one of the Foo Fighters songs should play in the background out of Outlook. I know there might be some licensing constraints there for playing music in Outlook, but...
Anyway, so this is a security feature blocking those file
Daniel
types
tolerates
from,
me.
from the service level, making sure that Outlook will not download those files because they may be malicious. Moving right along.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Phone system display caller ID for internal and external calls. MC191781. Again, Microsoft phone system in Office 365. Mm-hmm. I keep saying Microsoft 365, but yep. You'll be displaying caller ID for incoming PSTN callers as well as phone numbers. What? They don't do that already?
I was a little surprised by this. Yeah. I am not a Teams call person.
Yeah,
I'm not a telephony person.
Well, I'm working with a partner, which, like I said, they've got other ways to do this, but they're still leveraging Teams as the endpoint, and they're able to push caller ID through already. So maybe it's just Microsoft phone system catching up with what others have been able to achieve with their edge devices.
Right. And so I don't think we have a whole lot of information here.
Mm. How does it affect me? That's usually, remember people, these are the two sections that you do want to read. How does it affect me and what do I need to do to prepare? If a user has a secondary phone number stored in AAD, calls from that phone number to a user inside the same tenant will display the call ID from AAD. Right, so Daniel has a direct dial and a mobile. When Daniel calls in from his mobile, we're going to see that it is Daniel, but that he's calling from his mobile. So it's going to differentiate between the two? Sounds like it.
That would be awesome.
Calls from external phone numbers display the call ID provided by that phone service. Right. So that's pretty standard stuff that we would expect to be in any phone system.
Yeah, so it's doing that reverse number lookup 37. in the Microsoft 365 roadmap.
All right.
Yay.
Finally, new feature, sharing reports for OneDrive. This, you could get reports out of the your SharePoint online sites to see what is being shared with people. So a CSV file that you can put out now for OneDrive to show what is being shared outside of your organization. Now, do you expect, like, this is OneDrive owners can now generate this CSV file. Okay, at least they can do it from more settings. They're not expected to go and jump into PowerShell and do that, because how many people would do that? But at least you can generate it yourself.
Yes, you can. I think, and I mentioned this before when we were talking about SharePoint getting this functionality, I'm hoping this is just our first entry point into this. CSV is nice because you can open it up in Excel and do some filtering and stuff like that. But for me, I would rather, you know, see it on the page and then, you know, and be able to kind of manipulate it that way. But it feels a little like it is V1 for this functionality. But yes, being able to do that just from your more settings page in OneDrive online, your OneDrive for Business, and be able to see where all that sharing is happening. Now, this is OneDrive owners. So are we safe to assume this is also secondary owners, which are admins? I would say yes, but so anyway.
Can secondary owners go in and see more settings for a person's OneDrive?
That's a good question.
That's where it needs to be triggered. Yeah. Well, let's park that one for a bit of investigation as well.
Yes. Hey, Daryl. Well,
yes, Daniel.
How can people get a link to our show, whether it's on YouTube or an audio podcast version, and be able to subscribe to it? Where should they go to get that?
I know this one.
What is it? Yes, Daryl. Yes.
Dot show.
There you go. Right.
Yeah, so that'll take you to that landing page with all the places to subscribe, whether it be podcast or even YouTube. You know, part of the reason that we did go to our audio podcast is we know that YouTube can do this, but not everyone's buying premium. I recently signed out of premium, the premium program, and I tell you, man, it's almost like they're making up for the ads they weren't able to deliver to me over the year.
Nice.
Hey, you really want to go back onto premium, or otherwise we're going to keep doing this every 5 seconds. But yeah, audio podcasts, super useful. We're already seeing a lot of uptake from people who enjoy our content. So really happy to have that. What else have we got, Daniel? We're going to dive deeper into anything after the show, maybe?
Maybe, maybe not. Watch the socials. We'll publicize that if we do. We'll give it some thought. And if you want us to, you know, please reach out to us. Like I said, the easiest way to do that would be to get us on Twitter. You could see right there if you're on watching on YouTube. I'm at Daniel Glenn. And Daryl is Daryl AAS on Twitter. Reach out to us and say, hey, could you dive deeper into, you know, this message you covered this week? We'd love to hear from you. And hopefully we could pull in an expert and really dive into it a little bit more and add that to the audio podcast. So, yeah, hit us up.
Great. Well, thanks, everyone. We'll catch you again next week. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.